Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You may want to get your Bible at this time and turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We are in the midst of a study of Isaiah, the statesman prophet. And we're doing a survey of Isaiah's life, which we've done somewhat. And we're going to look at the life and times of Isaiah as we go through this study. But we're going to focus particularly on Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, where God calls for Isaiah to be a prophet. And to help us along in our study, we are looking at Elam's notes that were written for the Sunday of May 27th, 1923. Now, you may want to turn to 2 Chronicles 26, 6 through 15. I'll be reading that in just a moment. But make sure you mark Isaiah 6, because that's where we're going to concentrate our study, in Isaiah 6. And I'll give you that other reference in just a moment. While you're turning in your Bible, 2 Chronicles 26 or Isaiah 6, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at Elam's notes as he tells us the condition of Judah during the period of Isaiah's ministry. This was a critical period. Under Uzziah, the kingdom of Judah flourished, and he extended it over the country of the Philistines to the Eleth on the Red Sea. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 6 through 15 states the prosperity of Uzziah. I'd like to read 2 Chronicles 26, verses 6 through 15. I'm reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the country of Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbaal and the Meunim. And the Amorites gave tribute to Uzziah. And his name spread abroad even to the entrance of Egypt, for he waxed exceeding strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness, and hewed out many cisterns, for he had much cattle. In the lowlands also, and in the plain, he had husbandmen and vine dressers in the mountains and in the fruitful fields, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their reckoning made by Jeiel the scribe and Manasseh, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the heads of the fathers' houses, even the mighty men of valor, was 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 700 and 500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them, even all the host, shields and spears, and helmets, and coats of mail, and bows, and stones for slinging. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and upon the battlements, wherewith to shoot arrows and great stones. And his name was spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And so that Under Uzziah was a great time for the people of Israel, his love of husbandry, and his preparation and strength of his army. Under Jeroboam II, a contemporary with Uzziah, the kingdom of Israel flourished as well, and was extended to the entrance of Hamath on the north. And so the two kingdoms together occupied almost as much territory as the United Kingdom had when it was under Solomon. These kingdoms had never enjoyed so much wealth and worldly greatness since the time of Solomon. With this prosperity came luxury, ease, drunkenness, licentiousness, idolatry, oppression of the poor, and all kinds of immorality. With all this came in vain confidence in a man and corresponding lack of confidence in God and a perfunctory performance of religious ceremonies, a form of godliness without the power. With all this sin came decay, and the two kingdoms began to decline, and their enemies began to overrun them. It was during this period that Amos, Hosea, and Micah prophesied. Now let's look at the explanatory notes from Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. You'll now want to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. I'll read the first two verses and then return to Elam's notes. Isaiah 6, 1 and 2 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." So it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw this vision. Some think this vision marks the beginning of Isaiah's work as a prophet, but this is hardly probable because prophets, like other servants of God, grew and developed in their prophetic work from one degree of service to another. And the vision in this chapter shows a high degree of advancement and close relationship with God. Fidelity in little prepares one for the reception of much, and for fidelity in that. God gave Isaiah a true insight into the conditions of affairs, the cause, and the remedy. He saw it all clearly and felt it keenly. The more righteous he became, and the nearer to God he drew, the more heinous and terrible became to him the sins and crimes of his people. And more deeply he felt for them the awful retribution which overhung them. All that is in the book of Isaiah was not revealed to the prophet Isaiah at the same time. He prophesied at all during Isaiah's lifetime. This vision was not his call to become a prophet, for it came in the year that Uzziah died. Besides prophesying, he wrote of the acts of Uzziah and the acts of Ezekiel, or the acts of Hezekiah, in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 22, and 2 Chronicles 32, and verse 32. Now let's turn our attention to the vision itself. This was a glorious vision. The Lord sitting on a throne in the most holy place in the temple, high and lifted up, while the skirts of his garment filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings a seraphim covered his face, and with two his feet, and with two he flew. The seraphim, it seems, corresponding to the cherubim, whose wings overshadowed the mercy seat that we read about in Exodus 25, 10 through 22. From between the two cherubims, which were upon the Ark of the Testimony above the mercy seat, God gave commandments concerning the children of Israel in Exodus 23:22. The four living creatures in Ezekiel's vision had each four wings in Ezekiel chapter 1. But the vision of John on Patmos, the living creatures, each of them had six wings. John saw a throne set in heaven, and these four living creatures round about the throne. Let me read that to you from the book of Revelation, and just listen to Isaiah's description and compare this with what John saw in Revelation chapter 4. It says in Revelation 4, John said, "After these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard, the voice as of a trumpet speaking to me, one saying, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must come to pass hereafter.' Straightway I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper stone and a sardius. And there was a rainbow round about the throne like an emerald to look upon. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, arrayed in white garments, and on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and voices and thunders. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, as it were, a sea of glass likened to crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had the face as of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, having each one of them six wings, are full of eyes round about and within. And they have no rest day and night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is to come.' And when the living creature shall give glory and honor and thanks unto him that sitteth on the throne, to him that liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders shall fall down before him that sitteth on the throne, and shall worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and shall cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were and were created.'" And so John's description of these angels is of these creatures before the throne is much like Isaiah. Some say in Isaiah's vision that their covering their faces with two wings showed humility, and covering their feet with two wings showed respect. And perhaps that is the case. Now, we read in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3 of these creatures that he saw, these seraphim, that one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." I read that, and it is as though, as Isaiah began to gaze upon this vision of God, that the angels shout out, "Holy, holy, holy," as though you're not supposed to look upon this. The twofold mission of the seraphim was to declare the holiness and praise of Jehovah, and to communicate Jehovah's message through Isaiah to the people. One cried to another, or spoke alternately, it seems, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." So said the four living creatures in John's vision. That's as far as we're going to get today. I remind you, this is from the Rock Cliff church of Christ.